today as we come to the table.
I see the logical reason they would go for the young men. They're the easiest to train up. They're the ones that are going to be the most moldable. But I don't want you to miss something here that is borne out in this in the spiritual sense, and that is the enemy still today seeks out the young in order to get his purposes accomplished. You see, Satan knows that if he can get our children, the next generation is gone. If he can simply bring into our schools and into our culture things that contradict the Word of God, at the same time diminishing the Word of God in the churches and in its teaching other places, then Satan can use it to get the next generation to follow him.
Satan is after our children so that he can ruin the next generation. Look at what they're teaching students today. From elementary schools to universities, our kids are being indoctrinated to think and act in ways that go against God. From gender fluidity and homosexuality to evolution and denying the existence of God. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary, Knoxville. In today's message, Pastor Mark teaches that this has been one of Satan's oldest tactics. We see him doing this to the Jewish teenagers who are taken captive to Babylon along with Daniel and his friends. If you're a parent, it's vital to teach your kids God's truth so that they're not led astray by the lies of this world. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Daniel, chapter 1, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
Something else that must be pointed out about the book of Daniel is that it's the key to unlocking the meaning of the book of Revelation, which is why they go hand in hand. And so it's good we've gone through the book of Revelation now. Now Daniel's going to shore up things that we already covered in the book of Revelation and will also be a good reference for you in our study library with Revelation as you guys go through that and lead other people into that study as well. And so if we're ever going to fully understand the book of Revelation, we also have to have a full understanding of the book of Daniel. Now, much of the book of Daniel has already been fulfilled, but it wasn't in Daniel's day. In Daniel's day, it was still yet future. Now time has gone by. A lot of it has been fulfilled, so we're looking back to the past in that. We have the advantage of looking back and seeing, as we said, that every bit of it has not only happened, but in great detail to 100% accuracy, which again gives us great confidence that the rest of it is going to be fulfilled in detail with 100% accuracy. And so, you know, that's how we can trust in what we're looking at prophetically in the book of Daniel and why we can put our trust and know that, okay, God, this is what you've shown us. This is what's going to happen. And so another thing the book of Daniel does, it also challenges and encourages us because of the life and commitment that Daniel had in the midst of even a pagan city and a world that was so turned from God. Again, remember, this: God uses Babylon as the example of the ultimate pagan and hedonistic evil world throughout Scripture. He still talks about it in Revelation. And so the point is, Daniel got thrown into the worst possible worldly situation that a person could be thrown in, and he came out shining for God. He did it as a teenager. He did it as an adult. He did it as an elderly person, which means this: if God gave Daniel the power to do it, that means we can do it as well. See, here's what Daniel shows us. It doesn't matter how bad the world is around us, we have no excuses. Daniel rebukes us. Well, you don't know what it's like at work. You don't know what my family's like. You don't know what it's like. Look, I just now started going to Babylon University and all the kids are doing it. Everybody's doing it. You know how hard it is to say no when everybody else is doing it? That may be true, but everybody's not going to heaven. And so do you want to go to heaven or be like everybody? Well, I want to go to heaven. Then you need to be like Daniel. And you need to purpose in your heart that you're going to follow God, because if Daniel could do it at Babylon U, you can do it as well. And again, we'll talk more about how he was able to do that as we get into this. But again, he's one of the few people in the Bible. He and Joseph, there's no sin recorded in their life. No doubt they were sinners. We know that. The only one that was sin-free was Jesus Christ. But in so saying, again, his life was so honoring of God, like Joseph's, that there wasn't even anything that God put in the Scripture about sin in his life. And so we see Daniel here, again, now being firmly established in this new life that he has as we get into the book of Daniel. Now, before we jump in again, we need some facts about the actual city of Babylon. All this background will be worth it for the rest of the book that we're going to study. Some facts about Babylon. Now, put yourself in Daniel's sandals. Imagine traveling all these miles, being exhausted, all the travel that's happening, the army, the shock, all these things that are taking place. You round the corner, and there you see Babylon. Now, here's what he saw. The walls of Babylon were 350 feet tall. This is about 21 feet up. They were 15 miles long. So imagine standing next to the wall, looking 330 feet up, 15 miles down to the distance. That was one wall of the city. It was massive. The walls were so wide on top, you could put six chariots side by side and have chariot races on the top of the walls of Babylon. They found in the ancient ruins of Babylon a temple that has a circumference of 18 miles. That's one temple. 18 miles. It was a huge city. Adding to its grandeur was the fact that the Euphrates River passed right through the middle of it, which again gave them a supply of water, which means they had everything they needed. That's why they considered themselves impregnable. It was such a massive city with all the food and water supply, no one could possibly break in. We're going to find out that his son later on, Belshazzar, again realizes this can't, it's going to be taken because God does it. And we'll talk about how that's taken when we get there. But the reality is that they felt so secure because it was such an amazing city that they had built. And so now we have the foundation laid for the book of Daniel, as you can use as a reference later if you'd like. Now let's jump into the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 1, verse 1. Notice what it says. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. Now, this again was the first siege we talked about of the three when Daniel was taken, and this was 606 BC. So note that in your mind as far as the sieges. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with some of the articles of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God. Remember, that was to show his superiority. And he brought the articles into the treasury house of his God. Now, we'll see these articles again in chapter 5. Remember when Belshazzar goes in, he thinks he's so awesome, he brings out the articles of the God of Israel to party with, and he meets the God of Israel in a very real and scary way. And so, again, we're going to see that. Remember, that'll come into play when we get to chapter 5. But notice he says here that God, again, is the one that gave them. It says the Lord gave Jehoiakim into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar. And this is important to note. It was God who gave them into the hands of the Babylonians. And why do I bring this up? It wasn't bad luck. It wasn't a good battle. It was God. And why would God do this? Because it was a chastisement that was needed. And there may be some of you this morning that God has given you into the hand of the enemy because there's a chastisement that's needed to get your attention. Now, what do I mean by that? The enemy can come in many forms. It could be someone at work. It could be in your own household. It could be a friend. It could be whoever it could be. It might even be spiritual. Maybe you're noticing demonic activity. Sometimes people say to me, Pastor Mark, there's this demonic activity I've been noticing happening in my house and in my life, and they want to talk about it. And so a lot of times when spiritual things like that happen or somebody gives you a hard time, you're doing everything fine. God is just growing you. He's allowing trials. You're being purified. And God wants you to know that the battle's real. It's real in the earthly realm. It's real in the spiritual realm. And God will allow that to happen for a limited time. But sometimes, if you're living in sin, God will allow the enemy and others around you to harass you because God's trying to drive you back to him. And sometimes when people say to me, I've got these things happening in my life, I'll ask some further questions. Well, do you have any open doors to the demonic realm? Well, what do you mean? I mean, I'm not like worshiping Satan. No, I'm saying, tell me about your life. Have you fallen away into some areas you know you're not supposed to be in? And sometimes, yes, they have. I'm saying, there's your problem. God is allowing, you've opened the door, and God is allowing now the demonic realm to mess with you to bring you back. So how do you fix it? Repent. Close those doors off, come back to the Lord, and you're going to see this activity in your life drop off once again. So it can be a number of things. And so, again, God allows that, but we can take that also as an encouragement and as a warning, because God may be saying to somebody this morning, hey, I want you to wake up, and I wanted to say this through the pastor today so you would hear it to recognize what I'm doing. I want to set you free. I want to get this out of your life, but you need to be obedient. And after you're obedient, we will move forward. And so God, God is able to wait us out. And so, don't hold on to those things that you know that God wants you to let go of. Notice here it says he took the articles back to the temple again. As we said, we'll see that further later on. And then verse 3, then the king instructed Ashpenaz, the master of the eunuchs, to bring some of the children of Israel and some of the king's descendants and some of the nobles, young man in whom there was no blemish, but good looking, gifted in all wisdom, possessing knowledge and quick to understand, who had ability to serve in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the language and literature of the Chaldeans. Again, showing the education they had and what God was doing in their life and training them up to be used there, these young men in the kingdom of Babylon. And of course, I see the logical reason they would go for the young men. They're the easiest to train up. They're the ones that are going to be the most moldable. But I don't want you to miss something here that is borne out in this in the spiritual sense, and that is the enemy still today seeks out the young in order to get his purposes accomplished. You see, Satan knows that if he can get our children, the next generation is gone. If he can simply bring into our schools and into our culture things that contradict the Word of God, at the same time diminishing the Word of God in the churches and in its teaching other places, then Satan can use it to get the next generation to follow him. And that's why we see such a push in our schools. Now look, our schools have always had bad stuff in them. But you talk about Babylon, it's full-on Babylon in our schools now, starting in kindergarten. It is total corruption. And they're being raised up in the ways of Babylon, which means they're going to grow up thinking the ways of Babylon, and it's going to be a Babylonian culture, which it's already becoming, if we don't push back through prayer and the Word of God and make a stand and try to do what we can to see that it stopped. But this is a common tactic of the enemy. Get the youth, get the next generation. And what's interesting to me as a pastor, as I watch this happening at the same time that the Word of God is being taught less and less in the churches of America. Listen, more than ever, we need all of the Bible being taught from beginning to the end. We need the whole Bible to be a whole Christian. What did Paul say? Paul said, I've not shunned to declare to you the entire counsel, not just a few books, not just the parts I like, the entire counsel of God's Word. And until we get the entire counsel of God's Word back into the hearts of the next generation and ourselves, we're going to see this kind of Babylonian movement continue on, which is interesting because in the last days, God refers to the earth as Babylon. So we're seeing we're headed that direction right now. And notice what it says in verse 5. And the king appointed for them a daily provision of the king's delicacies, of the wine which he drank, and 3 years of training for them, so that at the end of the time they might serve before the king. Now again, off the surface here, 3 years at Babylon University doesn't sound too bad. They no doubt had very great dorm rooms. We now see they got to eat the food that the king ate. This would be the best stuff out there. Imagine the best filet. I mean, the best meats of all the different animals, the best fruits, the best of everything you can imagine, they had access to, the best drink, everything that could be theirs was theirs. And so it sounds great on the surface, but there's a problem here when it comes to Daniel and his cohorts. Remember, they were bound by the Levitical law if they were going to honor God, which means they couldn't eat anything defiled. So even the fillets that were okay to eat, most of them had probably been offered to the idols of Babylon. And so they knew we're offering meats that have been offered to false gods. We can't eat the things that are Levitically unclean for a Jew to eat. They've got a problem. And we're going to see next week that Daniel goes to Ashpenaz, the master of the eunuchs, and says, hey, I don't want to be defiled by this. Can we eat this just vegetables or whatever? And he lets them do it. And again, it shows me the heart of Daniel, because if anybody could justify, look, I just got taken out of my hometown. I've been brought here. I've been rendered useless as a husband or a father for the rest of my life. I'm going to be a slave and a servant. I've gone through great pain in many ways to get to this point. The least I can do is eat some filet, right? Who couldn't justify that? And again, nothing wrong with filet. I highly recommend it. But if it's offered to an idol and you're trying to, and you know that, and they're telling you that, and you're trying to honor God, and you've got other things that defile it in the kitchen as they're cooking, all these things that went on with the Jewish law, which we're not under anymore, praise the Lord. But Daniel said, I'll eat broccoli. I'd rather eat broccoli and stay faithful to God. That challenges me. What is my level of commitment? Am I willing to give up some of the pleasures of life that might even be okay for me to do from time to time in order to honor God because of what's happening culturally or something in a family member's life or some testimony or whatever's happening? This shows you the heart of Daniel. He was all in. He said, Lord, I'm all in for you. And now we see why God was able to use Daniel in such amazingly great ways in how he used him. And would to God that we had that kind of heart. Again, we're going to pray for that before we leave today. But notice verse 6, it says, now from among them, those of the sons of Judah were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Now, I love their names. This says a lot about them. Because I'm going to tell you the meanings of these names, and what it shows is their parents gave them names, and oftentimes the Jews would give names to their kids as to what they want their children to become. And they gave them godly names, showing that the families, at least of these kids, were investing in their kids in the ways of the Lord. And I believe that's part of the reason they were able to go to Babylonian High and Babylonian University and still come home and love God. How many of us as parents have seen our kids go to Babylonian High and Babylonian University and come back denying the things of God? See, they were able to go and come back and still honor God. Why? Because mom and dad poured into their lives the word of God, taught them the word, prepared them in the word, showed them why the word was accurate. So when Babylon brought all their false accusations, they knew why it was wrong, which gave them the ability to stand in the midst of the fire and come home godly. And so what that says to me, mom and dad, now's the time to invest. Now, inevitably, somebody's going, oh my goodness, my kids are already gone. I didn't do that. Or they're halfway grown. I haven't done it. Start now, wherever you are. Invest in your kids every day. You know, when I first got saved, I had the advantage of people around me saying, look, when you have kids, you need to invest in them every day, the word of God, because they're going to be going out in the world and facing the world. They need to be ready. So Tracy and I made a commitment. We're going to train up our kids in the Lord and every day in the word and in prayer and live it through the whole Bible. We took them through the whole Bible, you know, and would live it out and do all these things with whatever and this kind of thing. I'm so glad we did that because I had a couple of my girls say, you know what, Dad? When we went to college, we were greatly challenged because they're constantly attacking the Bible and the veracity of the Bible and the truth of God's word. Some of them make it a point to try to discredit it. And truly, it was pretty hard at times when you hear all this coming at you and everybody's agreeing with it. But because of knowing the word of God and knowing the answers ourselves, we were able to stand. And what will happen is, if you train those little jewels up, by the time they get there, they're going to believe what mom and dad believe. Then the fire blows on them. The fire of that professor, the fire of the world blows on them, and they start having to look for themselves and go, wait a minute, Dad said that's true, but I don't know that it's true. I'm going to go look, and they go, oh, Dad was right. Here comes another fire. Ah, I don't know about this. Dad said it was this, but everybody, I'm looking at it, and they go, oh, Dad was right again. And it teaches them to go do their own homework, find their own answers, and they have a solid foundation, and you know what? The world can't get them. And so moms and dads, take this serious. If it's not a commitment, make it one today. We're going to purpose in our heart a couple things before we're done, but you need to purpose in your heart, I'm going to train these kids up in the ways of the Lord so that they honor God. The Bible says that it'll be like little arrows shot out into the world. So that when they shot out there, boom, you just kind of see them flying, they land, hit their mark, you know, and they right there, right? And they're just a light for the world. So where'd you come from? You know, why are you so happy? Where's all the joy? What's going on with you? Well, here's why. And they know why, and they can stand firm. I love it. Well, Daniel's name means God is judge. Hananiah means beloved of the Lord. You can see the parent's heart in this. Mishael means who is as God. And Azariah means the Lord is my help. Beautiful. Now, although they were given those names, the world doesn't want them to keep that kind of honoring for God. And so the world's going to give them new names. And notice what they do here. Look at verse 7. To them, the chief of the eunuchs gave the names. To Daniel, the name Belteshazzar. To Hananiah, Shadrach. To Mishael, Meshach. And to Azariah, Abednego. And again, notice these names, because we're going to educate you in the ways of Babylon, but we also want to give you a new name. We don't want you honoring God in our presence. So Belteshazzar means Baal's prince, which is one of the gods of Babylon. Hananiah became Shadrach, which means illuminated by the sun god. Mishael became Meshach, which means guest of a king. That was more neutral. And then Azariah, Abednego, which means the servant of Nego, who was another god of the Babylonians. So they give them all these Babylonian God names, kind of in the counteracting. We're going to pull all that Jesus stuff out of you and put the world in you. And notice when they try to do this, this is what kept Daniel in place. And this is the thrust of where we're going to end today. It says, but Daniel purposed in his heart. That's a great underliner right there. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which with he drank. Therefore, he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now, next week, we're going to see where he goes and makes that request and then comes up with a plan, and the chief of the eunuchs gets him free from doing this, so he uses wisdom. We'll talk about ways to make an appeal next week when we get to that. But notice here, he does two things. Number one, and this is the most important, he purposes in his heart. Guys, if we're going to walk with God in this world today, and we train our kids up to walk with God in this world today, with all the weirdness going on, with Babylon overtaking us, we've got a purpose in our heart to serve God, and we've got to teach our kids to purpose in their heart to serve God. Otherwise, it's not going to happen. That's step number one, but that is not enough. A lot of people say, Lord, I give all my heart to you, and I purpose to do that. If you stop there, you're not going to be successful. Why? Because notice the next thing Daniel did, he took action. He took action. He went to the king of the eunuchs, or rather the master of the eunuchs, and he said, can we have another way to do this? This is the second thing that is so key to your success in following through with purpose of heart today, and for your kids to teach them, you've got to take action. What does that mean? I have a purpose in my heart to serve God. Well, what do you have to do that? What shows do you have to cut out? What things do you have to throw away? What friends do you have to cut off? What activities do you have to not be a part of? It's not about legalism. It's about wisdom and walking with God. You've got to say, what action do I need to take to be able to keep purpose of heart? And if you get purpose of heart, take the action to follow through on purpose of heart, then God will give you the power of the Holy Spirit to do it. And it's not you that does it. It's God that does it. I spoke with someone after first service, and they were talking about how they want to try so hard for this to happen. I said, don't do that. I said, you purpose in your heart, you take the action to close the doors in those areas that need to be closed, and then you say, God, fill me with your Holy Spirit. I need your power to do this. You do your part, God will certainly do his, and God will give you victory, and that's a promise that the Lord gives us. This is the key to a successful Christian. It means he resolved in his heart, and what we resolve in our heart to do will manifest in our life. And notice here, we have to avoid the king's delicacies to do that. The world's going to offer you all kinds of delicacies. They say, come on, sleep with anybody you want. There's a lot of beautiful girls out there, handsome men. Hey, go for all the money. It doesn't have to be above board. Just fight your way to the top. If you have to tear other people down, tear them down. Whatever you got to do, they're going to offer the king's delicacies. Look what you could drive if you did this. Look at the friends you could have. Look how important you'd be if you get this many views on, you know, whatever. And so we're pulled into that whole world system trying to please it. God says, you're not going to please me if you do that. You're trying to please Babylon. You've got a purpose in your heart that it's me. The Bible says that all things, we're free in all things, but not all things are profitable. And so we have to say, all right, what's not profitable? And then we remove those things out of our life, the things that aren't profitable, so that we can now serve God in the things that are profitable. So guys, here's, as we finish today, here's what I leave with you. Number one, and I'm sorry we went a hair long today, but again, this was too important to lay this foundation. The bottom line is, all of us need a purpose in our heart. If we truly want to follow God, we need a purpose in our heart. We want to follow the Lord with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And if you're saying, well, I just can't do that. No, God didn't say whether or not you could do it. It's like the man when he said, you know, laying there that was paralyzed 38 years, he said, do you want to be made well? And he's asking the question, do you really want this? Here's what God is saying. Do you really want to purpose in your heart? Do you want to be holy and walk with me? Then you purpose in your heart to do it. Number two, you take action of the things you need to do to cut off the things in your life that keep you from doing it. And then you ask me to fill you with the Holy Spirit to give you the power to do it, and I will do it. Guys, let's receive this as a challenge. Let's ask God to not only make us like Daniel, let's ask God to make us like him. And so we're going to ask God to do that as we finish today in prayer. Let's pray and ask God to do it. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the work of your word and your spirit this morning. And Lord, this morning, that's what we want to do. We want to do what Daniel did. We want to purpose in heart, Lord, that we will follow you all of our days with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, and all of our strength. And Lord, we thank you, Lord God, that you've shown us it can be done because you did it through Daniel. But Lord, at the same time, we right now want a purpose to do that. I pray you'd also convict us right now of the actions that we need to take to make following through of that purpose of heart possible.
Do you find it hard to faithfully serve God in this ever-increasing sinful world? The draw to engage in fleshly desires is strong for sure. So, what do you do when those temptations come? When your faith is challenged, do you trust in God to give you the courage to stand as he did with Daniel and his friends? That's right. Daniel lived during the time of oppressive Babylonian rule, but still managed to serve God. This gives me encouragement. It propels me to follow Daniel's example as I go about my daily tasks. Come to the Tables Ministry flows from Calvary, Knoxville in Knoxville, Tennessee, where hearts are devoted to spreading the good news of the gospel. If you've been a longtime listener, we're thankful you keep coming back. But we have something to ask you. Would you invite your friends and family to listen to our broadcasts? We welcome newcomers here and at our church service. Would you consider joining Calvary Knoxville on a Saturday evening, Sunday morning, or a midweek evening? For times and directions, visit thewaymedia.net. One more time, that website is thewaymedia.net. We'd encourage you to drop what you're doing and go there now. You won't regret it. In fact, we hope you stay a while and check out other messages of Pastor Mark Kirk's. His teachings go beyond the book of Daniel and are worth a listen. While you're there, don't miss links to our podcasts. This is a great tool to utilize if you're always on the move. Do you have questions or comments about what you heard today? Get started by clicking the Come to the Table tab on thewaymedia.net. Thanks for listening to Come to the Table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.